All right, Cole, what are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, come in here to my den. I want to show you something very special and very personal to me. And
Badger head mounted on the wall.
Yeah, you know, I just, I'd kill the badger, bare hands.
Good job. I hate them.
I hate them so much.
Yeah, street rats. That's what I call them.
filthy, just riddled with disease.
Highway monsters.
Yeah, no, I can't get over their association with Redwall.
No. Or their association with rascals.
Oh, yes. So, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was so long ago. And so many people were angry about that episode that I just put it out of my mind.
Yeah. Just turn it off.
Yeah. But I want to show you my Pog collection.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got a couple here. So my slammers. Gonna move that. But what I want to do is I want to take. I just want you to reach your hand in and pull one out.
I'm happy to. I've been hanging out with Pogs recently and happy to get this opportunity. Okay. And here is a Pog.
Oh, well, that one's super boring. It's just got a smiley face on it.
Is this a tie-in for that David Duchovny movie? Is this the Evolution?
No, it only has two eyes. It only has two eyes, and Seth Green isn't here.
Does it have a spot of blood? Is it a tie-in for the Watchmen movie?
No. I was about to. Donkey Lips was in that movie. Actually, it was in Evolution. Yeah,
Donkey Lips. Let's not say Donkey Lips. cool. Let's not say those words together ever again. I know who you're referring to. Like, I don't want anyone listening to this to be like, does Gary know who Donkey Lips is? I know who Donkey Lips is. I don't like those words together. Like, that sounds like you're describing somebody very uncharitably. Like, I know it's supposed to be making fun of him, but I do not like that combination of syllables. One bit.
Wow, I feel like I've like discovered the magic spell that would just undo you.
Yeah, it's just like it's my Laputin machine.
No, it's your kill phrase.
Yeah,
it's your kill phrase.
It's my unilateral kill phrase.
I can just see you like just hiding up behind a plant. You could walk down a hallway and saying Donkey Lips, and you just like quop to the floor.
I never asked for this.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's just a smiley face. Okay, go ahead and put that one back.
Okay,
grab another one. One of these is going to link to a game.
All right, and here we go.
It's another smiley face.
These are like the Pogs that come with the Pog starter set. These are the worst.
Well, just like the like with the gigantic Pog that you play him on.
Yeah. Like this,
and,
just
and all the tubes. Yeah,
I can't believe Forrest Gump invented this. All right. What a stupid fucking detail in that movie.
Wait a minute, what?
You're like, he invented the smiley face in Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
By wiping mud off his face on his shirt.
Yeah, like because his face makes a perfect circle in line. He's just so happy that the universe made it happen.
It is one of the stupidest details in an incredibly dumb, terrible movie. But like that one, boy, oh boy. All right, let me grab this. Okay. This one's got to be it. No matter what this is, we're going to do something based on it. Okay.
It's another fucking smiley face. What's going on?
And let me Google search smiley face game.
What dickhole replaced all my Pogs with smiley? Gary, I think it might be our rivals. We need to find some rivals. I don't know. I don't know who to put in for the jokes. Yeah, the big wigs. Oh, man.
If I put in Google for smiley face game, we get Faceball 2000.
Well, might as fucking well.
Might as fuck as well. Yep. Do you think Midas ever said that? He's like, Midas fucking well. Like everything.
No, I think that's the like I think that Midas might as well is
Goldfinger.
That was the name he used to check into hotels when he didn't want anybody to know.
Midas fucking well.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Fucking Well. Your room is ready. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where we play the games that you want us to play, so you don't have to.
And
why are you doing this to us?
Why are you? But just like, this is so such a non-entity.
This is like a tech demo. Like this is like it's made on a dorm room for a project.
Yes, and probably played in a lot of dorm rooms.
Yeah. Who suggested this?
Well, I need to pull up the Airtable here because I totally do not have that information in front of me. But
bleh. It's all right. Yeah, I can fill noise here.
Yeah, vamp for me, please.
Might as fucking well. That's pretty good. Yeah. And then the little Goldfinger joke. I feel like that was like I like that too. Just post gaming myself. Post-gaming myself to completion.
You know, just just a post-mortem, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, if I'm going to be vocally masturbatory, I might as well be physically masturbatory as well.
Yeah, so just whip it out.
Just pull it out, and here it is.
It was before you get too far into that project, it was Holland Hume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Holland Hume, speaking of pogs, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but Holland Hume's is the angel that came through and solved my pog problem for the Kickstarter.
That is so weird. I did not do that on purpose.
What a great coincidence. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he works in printing.
He works in pogsmithing. Holland's a pogsmith.
Yeah. Holland Hume, the famous pogsmith, and put me in touch with a company that's like the first company that I ran to that's like, yeah, we can do that thickness and a custom size. Of course we can. We're a goddamn printing company. As opposed to every other company, it's like, yeah, no, 4,000 minimum. You know, like, yeah, we can do that, but it's gonna cost you $7,000. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not commercially reproducing pogs. Like, it is not so these are the first company that can do a reasonable print run of these things. So yeah, I'm gonna get pogs thanks to Holland Hume.
Yeah.
And we played Faceball 2000 thanks to Holland Hume. I think that we're even.
Yeah. there we go. Yeah. You dick? No.
He's not a dick at all.
He is a wonderful supporter. And like, I can't even be mad. Like, I can't even fake being mad about this because like I'm kind of impressed.
It's pretty impressive. It's like it's on the, you know.
I mean, so it's a nice companion piece to Terminator.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It seems less ambitious to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it is it's still pretty ambitious. Do you have experience with this game? Do you know it? Did you know it before?
No, my only experience with this before was probably seeing some ads for it, but more likely I recognize it from any number of like bargain bins. By the time I was like shopping around at Hills for discount games and stuff, this was on all the shelves and I had no interest in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This came out on Game Boy. There's a Game Boy version of this. At the same time, I was like, you know, pretty invested in video game magazines, and it got really good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people were way into Faceball 2000 on the Game Boy, or like reviewers were.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a link cable game. Like, you don't want to play this against bots. Like, you want to play it against other people.
Right.
But I could see it being really fun, and I remember really like at the time just wishing that I had friends who would do that.
Oh yeah,
because I had friends who had Game Boys, but like none of them. Like, I'd be like, man, this Faceball 2000 game's got good reviews. Like, we should get this and play it. Nobody was down for it. It bummed me out. And then this is actually the first time I played it. I always knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I played it. And now, like, I'm sure I would have loved it when I was a kid. But it is it's primitive as shit.
Yeah.
But I can see it being fun with people. Like, it'd be super fun with people. It's like a super slow deathmatch, like deathmatch battle zone.
Yeah, like deathmatch battle zone. Like, this plays like a very proto Doom. A little bit. Like, you have these kind of like Mario Kart battle mode maps with walls and kind of this faux 3D environment, laughable like skybox backgrounds. Like, I don't know if on the any or on the SNES they're doing like mode 7 stuff with this, or if they've just appropriated the like the earlier technology, which was like they played this, it was originally called MIDI Maze, and it was on like Atari computers in like 1987, which that's the year I was born.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Like,
yeah.
It is it's like a competitive version of the Windows Maze screensaver.
Yeah.
Like, if you could walk around that and shoot your friends with gigantic vision obscuring projectiles.
I kind of wonder if that was built into it, like if taking a shot was supposed to sacrifice visibility to put you at a disadvantage.
I think it actually has to do with the level of discretionary units that something could show depth.
Oh yeah.
With so if you need to show
quantize to something, yeah.
Yeah, so we're not even quantized. If you need to make this thing be able to travel the entire length of the maze and show a different size at every step of that, it would need to start fairly big to be able to get small enough to like
so it would look like it was moving from your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is, cuz it's pretty obnoxious. I don't credit them with enough like strategic depth.
Yeah.
To do otherwise. This is like, it's made with like, so everything you do in this is smiley faces. And you get to change your face name when you start out and change from different kinds of smiley faces. But it's really like, it feels like it's made with like built-in assets. Like, oh, it wasn't. Somebody programmed this to just be smiley faces, but they're like placeholders and they stopped. You know, like this could have been like Robo War or something like that, and you fight with androids, but they're just like, no, let's just use the smiley faces, like, and let's just run with it.
So I wonder if by the time this came out on SNES, they could have put legs, because like when you put legs on something, all of a sudden it has to have a walk cycle. And well, yeah, actually animating and moving around and like scaling those images. I mean, they're not id.
Even if they were floating, like they could still just not be smiley faces. Yeah. They could have been like hover tanks or something like that. Like it could have been something that doesn't feel like a generic placeholder for a video game asset,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it kind of strikes me as. And it makes me have bad will towards this game that I suspect is actually kind of like would have been really fun to play,
mm-hmm.
because seeing the classic yellow smiley face makes me angry. Like, I don't like it.
Gary, that's the opposite effect of what the creator wanted.
I know. Well, they really wanted that to, like, have some kind of... But it's irritating to me. It's cloying and stupid. And I associate it with, like, carnival art and, like, juggalo shirts and fashion scrubs and, like, everything I dislike about aesthetics.
Every aesthetic you dislike.
Yeah.
It is mapped directly onto the smiley face.
Condensed down to the classic yellow smiley face. Like,
yeah.
I have no interest in that smiley face.
I mean, like, I always associated with like if you couldn't have, if there was somebody at school who couldn't afford like a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper, or
oh,
like
sure.
If there was a, if, you know, if, like if you were a guy and you couldn't get the Sonic one or whatever, like there were always the folders with the smiley faces, and like that,
yeah.
Like when I was coming up, when I had the most exposure to the smiley faces, it was part of like the 90s like hippie revival a little bit,
yeah. I think you accidentally stumbled upon something. I think that the Sonic aesthetic is the male version of the Lisa Frank aesthetic.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, like Sonic is Lisa Frank for boys.
Yeah, which
and that's why everybody wants to fuck him and shit.
Yeah. Like, do people want to fuck Lisa Frank creations?
Oh yeah, just the titular Frank.
Oh, I always figured she was like Betty Crocker, like a construct.
Yeah.
I thought she was.
Yeah, like just saying, well, you want to fuck Betty Crocker. Like, what's your point? or you know,
yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
The syrup lady?
Yeah, Mrs. Buddyworth.
Yeah, Mrs. Buttstuffworth. Drink that syrup.
I cannot. Donkey lips.
Sorry.
Moose lips. No, that sounds offensive to me.
They're both gross.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I guess like moose lips sounds like moose knuckle.
Yeah. Ugh. Nope.
But no, it's a little bit it is counterintuitive, because you would think the male version of Lisa Frank would be Echo the Dolphin, but that franchise, yeah, did not have legs.
Well, and Echo the Dolphin is like gender neutral.
True.
Like Echo the Dolphin is for all.
Yeah.
I would think that the male version of Lisa Frank would be like Frank Lisawitz or something like that.
That's a little bit too ethnic, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably true.
Yeah, no, but totally, like, am I wrong? So I remember like in the mid 90s there being like a hippie revival a little bit, like,
oh yeah,
like tie dye and stuff, you know, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
I was very little. That's right.
That's 100% right, dude.
Okay, cool.
Like that's when even in my like shitty podunk town, we had like two like incense and hippie paraphernalia stores that I used to go into. I remember buying like these wooden airplanes that said mm-hmm. PAX on the side. And then like having somebody explain to me that meant peace. I mean, like,
I got a yin yang necklace out of a gachapon, like a bubble machine at the front of a Target, and I liked wearing it because it reminded me of Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah, yeah. The, it that's definitely a true, and that's also when the alien aesthetic, like the big alien set head kind of logo or something like,
oh,
that.
Oh, like the gray like, kind of thing, and the grays,
with the grays, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that coming back to you.
Yeah.
What a gross time.
Man, they're like, is there anything redeeming about the 90s aside from like Nirvana?
I'm sure there is, but like, yeah, as an aesthetic experience, like, yeah, it is
pretty bad.
Yeah, not my fave. It's like funny, but I don't think it's very attractive.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like that whole, I don't even know if it's funny. Like, it's shameful, right? Like, I look, yeah, at that, like, you know, their early episodes of Friends on Netflix. And my 10-year-old niece loves watching Friends. She'll watch
it. It already started. Is that something with your family? Jesus Christ, dog. Like, why can't anyone in your family be into something contemporaneous with them? Like, contemporary with them. Like, is but he has like sitcoms from before they were born? Is there something in the water there? Jesus, man. Like, what happened, you guys? Is it a curse?
I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. Like, it was just my bro.
I think that's the equivalent of like, you know, your Three's Company, but for her.
I totally didn't draw that comparison. Wow.
What is happening in Mansfield, Ohio? It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Like the color out of time. Like a meteor landed and then just shifted all of us back 10 years.
Yeah, like all of your pop culture tastes are like weirdly asynchronous. Like you're all being channeled by like a much older brother. Like it's not even, you know, like a different generation quite.
No, it's like an uncle kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
like,
you're inhabited by uncle's past.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing I'm used to you putting me on blast, but not you putting younger relatives you haven't met on blast. Neat.
Let me get started on her. No, I'm sure she's fine. Like, I don't actually dislike you because you like Three's Company.
Yeah,
like, it's not, you know, but it is just really weird that that's like a thing. Like, are your parents like way into Tin Pan Alley and like Amos and Andy and shit?
No. Like they really like the Cats and Jammer Kids, Punch and Judy. And Little Nemo. No,
your grandparents like exclusively watched that train video of the train coming out the camera.
They get freaked out every time.
It's a thrill every night.
Oh man, it gives them conniptions and angers up the blood.
Anywho, you were saying.
Anyway, my weird time niece. She. No, she likes watching Friends, and I share a Netflix account with my brother, and you know, so that pollutes my namespace, and yes. I get there watched recently, and it's hilarious because like it's nothing but like Friends and 30 Rock, and then like World War II documentaries, and then and then what I watch, and then let's see here. No, but I'll go in and I'll watch it because like, hey, Friends, and you look at those people. A, the homophobia in the mid-90s, but also just the aesthetic. It looks so much more alien to me than even something from the 80s does. You look at something from the 70s that is not like cartoonishly 70s. It's just the way people look now. Like if I look at the way my dad dressed in the 70s, like it looks like the way that I dress or I would dress if I didn't have this weird hang up about clothes.
But I don't know. I can see a 70s picture and be like, that's a 70s person.
Huh.
Like I think I can definitely see that. Like it's like a hairstyle thing, and then just like I feel like I can tell just from dress and everything, I can tell what a 70s person looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't put money on that, but
we have to do like a Pepsi challenge here.
Yeah, like off the top of my head, I think I could.
Like I could tell by like the film grain or whatever, like, oh, that's from an old camera. Yeah. So you would have to take it with the same camera to see.
Yeah. Huh.
This is getting more complicated than I expected it to. No, but I guess what I'm saying is all you like it's just like, right there, and like you don't have to go back and watch have to go watch like Clueless or whatever to see it. Like it can be much more like mainstream and widespread.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like it is a singularly to me. It's not so much that it's alien as just it's out of the different aesthetics that's least attractive, and like I can't divorce myself from that being my life. That's where when I experienced it in my life, you know, that could definitely be the thing. Oh, it's like everybody has that feeling about the pop culture they came across when they were 10. Like that could just be the case. But for me, like the 90s aesthetic is the least attractive of the things.
Yeah.
Like I can look at a spinning internet GIF and like of old internet and be like, haha, you know, oh, it is good to laugh. I can just look at that and just laugh all night.
Yeah.
Laugh all goddamn night. But it never looks cool to me. Like it never looks good.
Hmm.
You know, and this is a real example of that.
Yeah.
I think the old Minnie Mays. Even though it is kind of like a late 80s aesthetic, really. You know, like it didn't advance that much in the versions. You know, like the early Atari ST version of this looks about as good as the Super Nintendo version does.
Except they're like, I think it looks a little bit better, actually, because they're not trying to do as much with the depth. They're not trying to approximate a 3D model. They're not Donkey Kong countrying it.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. weird little trivia thing about Baseball 2000 is that is reading the Wikipedia on it, and it was reviewed, the only review that they have on tap, because I was trying to find one of the old reviews I read, because I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this will transport me through time like instantly, is Sandy Peterson reviewing it in a Dragon magazine. And Sandy Peterson, the guy who did Doom levels and created the Call of Cthulhu tabletop game,
yeah,
used to review computer games for Dragon magazines. And then I, like, after reading that, I looked back through my old Dragon magazines. I have a bunch of reviews that he wrote.
Oh,
it's kind of crazy. Like all these like weird like old PC games that this guy who made something I really love, and all my least favorite levels in Doom 2.
Like the city and the factory and shit.
Yeah, and then like some of the gimmick levels.
Yeah,
so like the maze one and stuff, which is like kind of fun, but.
Yeah.
In retrospect, it's like, oh, that is an idea. Like, I'll give it that. It's definitely an idea. It's just not that great of an idea.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I knew I recognized that game from somewhere. And the fact that a reviewer has a link on Wikipedia, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Hmm.
I didn't play tons of Baseball 2000.
Neither did I. I felt like I got the flavor really quick. And so if I look at OpenEmu, let me see exactly how long I played it before I realized there was nothing to it.
Yeah, it is very simple. I mean, there's like power-ups and stuff.
Yeah, but I couldn't really figure out what they were. And like there's nothing in the way of like facts for this that I saw.
Yeah. And that's actually going to be something in our next game too.
Yeah.
Which I think is you know, is just like not knowing what the power-ups are and stuff, mm-hmm. which is frustrating, even though like the next game I like more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, this is saying I played it for 53 seconds, but that is totally not the case.
due diligence.
Yeah. No, I assure you I played it for more than that.
Yeah. Or even, you know, at the very least, it felt like much more than that.
Wow.
Like,
yeah. Did I get past the start screen, Gary?
Yeah. once you get past that. yeah. It is. It is really pretty rough.
It's
as an experience, and I recognize though we're not playing it right. Like we're playing it single player, and that's probably right. Not correct.
I can imagine like even having fun without like a without like a playing it on like different screens, right? Like if you play this multiplayer on the SNES, it's split screen. But like, fuck, mm-hmm. if you're able to like screen watch on that,
yeah,
you know, like yeah. the display is so small, like you would have a much better chance like screen watching on like Mario Kart.
Well, there's so much UI.
Yeah.
Like the actual playable window in this game is ridiculous.
It's like so much Chrome. Like then that's such a that is such a PC thing. I really associate that with PC. Like we only have the juice to like render this much of the screen in the detail that I want to render it. So let's surround it. Like it's EverQuest. Like they were doing that up until like the late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I can dig. Yeah. Like I like a, you know, a busy, you know, crunchy PC interface, but not for like a game this simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this would have benefited from having more play field and kind of more peripheral vision and
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I think the periphery is actually what stands out for me.
What kills it, yeah. Because your turning radio is so, or turning radius, your turning mm-hmm. radio, mm-hmm. Your Turing radius, which determines whether you can, you know, turn like a human is very low in this game and the last game we did.
Yeah.
And that's it, just for a shooter, like you can't strafe.
Right.
Like, did you figure, is there a way to strafe? I couldn't figure out a way to strafe.
No, you can, so the left and right, will rotate you, but so will the shoulder buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like those are additive, actually. So if you press the right, like the right shoulder button, and then you press left on the D-pad, you're still going to like mostly turn right, but it's going to be a little bit of a less, it's going to be a little bit more of a slow turn as you're walking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but still, that's still not strafing.
Yeah, so it's not like pure. It's not pure, you know? Strafing, but like it modifies.
Okay,
you know, it modifies the movement, and I can see that being a way to like, you know, throw people off. Like this person is not moving like I'd expect them to.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. It is a. Yeah, it is. It is hard to get kind of a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what high level Baseball 2000 play might look like, and I bet you it doesn't exist.
So this is kind of crazy. A 3-day all-day MIDI maze tournament is one popular attraction at Con of the North, which is a gaming convention in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should try to get in on that bad boy. Start training now.
Do you think we can go all the way? Because I don't, you know, like I don't want to, you know, half-ass this.
Well, especially if we're gonna fly out.
Yeah, no, like we have like, to make this worth it.
We'd after like lodging and stuff, we'd be out, you know, like $1,500. We can't lose this tournament.
We show up, we're out like hour two. Like, well, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I hate this. what are we doing?
No, I just like the idea of like we both register on the same ticket. Like it's split. Then we just trade off as we get bored.
We're like the pinball wizards of Baseball 2000.
Yeah.
There's nothing else I can say about Baseball 2000. I feel like
there really is nothing for. Yeah, I like nothing at all.
It's so basic.
Yeah.
The fact that it uses MIDI cables is kind of interesting. Like I've been having some MIDI issues in general, but it's like a weird outmoded connectivity thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that just like has been designed around in a lot of different ways. It's an odd way for games to link up.
Yeah. I mean, I had controllers that plugged in on the MIDI port.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is not, it's not unheard of, but I don't know. Like it's pretty ingenious. Like I wonder if those had been used for that purpose before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be like networking over a USB cable today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird like intersection of like audio formats being used for just kind of data. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, tapes, you know, Commodore 64 tapes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, or like Teddy Ruxpin kind of thing.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, that's like, Teddy Ruxpin isn't a game. Like, yeah, like yeah. The way that, like, you would play a Commodore 64 game that would come on a cassette.
Right, right. But, yeah. like the movement data, like, would be encoded as audio. And, like, you know, like, there are certain, like animatronics are the wrong word, but, like, you can control and actuate different stuff using MIDI. It's actually really efficient for that because, like, just there are so many different channels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really versatile. Like, I don't know what MIDI stands for, even though I just rattled all that off. But like, it's kind of bizarre that A, it is stuck around for as long as it has, as like a viable control mechanism for like music and stuff. Like I record this in I record all of our shows in Logic, which is mostly a MIDI program. Mm-hmm. Like it just happens to be a really good editing suite for us to cut this stuff up.
MIDI's not going anywhere.
Right, right. So yeah. That's comforting in a way.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's no good game fact stuff on this, really.
No.
The biggest thing I found from, you know, the fact itself isn't written, but I was surprised by how many different bots there are. Like, there's something like a dozen different smileys you can fight in this. Smiloids is what they're called, that you can fight in this game. And they all have different behaviors and kind of AIs, which is really strange.
Like different aggression levels and stuff, or
yeah, and just how they behave when they see you, things like that. So like, or what their projectile is like, when they, you know, they can see you and stuff like that. There's one that can't see, so it doesn't know you're there if you're not moving.
Oh, it's like a T-Rex.
Yeah, which is real weird because you're hovering. Like, why are you making noise when you move? But there's some kind of like cool little, like, I really feel like they pushed the Baseball 2000 idea as far as it could possibly go. With this game, so it's good for them.
I'm kind of curious. This was developed by Xanth Software FX,
mm-hmm.
which
what else have those guys done?
Let me look at the Giant Bomb site and see here. Yep, MIDI Maze and Baseball 2000.
Oh, okay.
And looking on Mobi Games, there's also a game called Gato. Gato is a real-time 3D submarine simulation game where the player is a commander of a United States submarine in the Pacific Ocean during World War II against Japanese warships.
Okay. Do they maneuver around in first person and shoot other subs?
Yeah, and all the subs are shaped like spheres.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Sphere subs? Bathyspheres?
Just a bunch of bathyspheres, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like there's nothing here, and also I've lost track of how long we've been recording.
Yeah, I was going to ask so we can stop.
so we can move on to the far more interesting game that we have after this.
Yeah, I mean this is like fun episode and everything. It's just there's just not much to it. Mm-hmm. Did Holland have anything to say about it? I know he recommended it.
No, he didn't. Okay. It is I think that this might be actually a really old response, because most of the ones that we have, most of the suggestions we get now, they definitely have comments. So it must be from before we had the comment form on there.
Yeah, and we're not putting Holland on blast by any means.
No, no, it just, I'd be curious if he had, like, experience with this. And, like, I'd also be curious, like, if you have played this, here to break the fourth wall. If you have played this, like, if this was your version of, like, a land thing, you know, let me know. Because I'm curious, because, like, this feels like the closest, most accessible version of, like GoldenEye for the late 80s, early 90s.
But much like GoldenEye, it's like it would be good grading on a curve.
Right,
like playing
right.
any version of GoldenEye would be fun on your Game Boy, because that's novel and cool. But it doesn't mean that it's like the, you know, now there's really no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't stand up.
Right.
Doesn't stand up. You heard it here first. Baseball 2000.
Yeah. Then, you
not
know,
worth playing.
We're iconoclasts. We're not afraid to take down the sacred cows.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of bold stance you're going to get from us here on Abject Suffering.
Yeah.
Cool. What do we do next week?
Next week, Gary, we are recording an episode about nightmare creatures.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I am down as well.
Yes.
And we will say who suggested that when we record that episode. There's been some, like, admin stuff that we should probably talk about.
Yeah, hit us.
Yeah.
Hit us with admin.
I want to, like, make sure everybody knows that exquisite suffering is a thing. I know we talk about it occasionally, like, on the social media stuff, but, like, there are whole episodes of this show that you probably haven't heard yet if you are not a backer, or if you haven't checked out the store. So if you want to get these right when they come out, you can go to duckfeed.tv/Patreon right now. The current episode is about American Gladiators. I mentioned it last week, but I'll say it again. I'm super proud of that, and I'm not normally, like, proud or effusively like, oh my gosh, I love this thing that I made, but...
Yeah, it's a good episode.
Yeah. Like there are like five others that are on the store.
Yeah, they're reasonably priced.
Yeah.
But the best way to get them and support us more consistently is through Patreon.
Yeah.
So if you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, that is how you can help us out. And we really appreciate it. You know, it's like the shows are free. We like making them free. They're never going to cost money, you know, other than a couple like the special episodes, but their regular shows will be out. But the, you know, and this isn't complaining because it's a very fun thing to do, but, you know, we put a lot of time into this.
Yeah.
Even a show like this where it's like, it doesn't seem like we do. We still do. It's still like a ledger item on our calendar of like, I got to go home and play the Baseball 2000, you know?
It contributes to overhead is what it does. Yeah. And no matter how much we streamline our processes and record them in batches, it still is a measure of effort. And we really appreciate everybody who has taken the time and, you know, instituted a little bit of their own overhead by donating every month.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about having or doing it. I'm just saying that, like, you know, it is if you feel like that's worth something and worth giving back.
Yeah.
A cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, ratings and reviews and stuff are also great. Tweeting about it.
Yeah.
It's super great.
P.O. Box, duckfeed.tv or Cole Ross at P.O. Box 27105, Cincinnati, Ohio 45227. If you send something for Gary, I will forward it along.
Have we gotten anything yet?
I received a secondhand iOS controller from a person who remains as of yet unnamed. It just said Slack channel and there was no note inside.
Okay.
I'm not looking to get toys. Like, that's super cool, but like I want to make sure it's very clear I didn't set this up to get free stuff. Although I'm super gonna use that to play an emulator on my Apple TV. But it's more for like you know, if you find a postcard, if you're on a trip, or if you want to write a nice letter or send something in.
Yeah.
You know, we really appreciate that.
And not to like you can send in stuff. It's just not that's the reason. So send in whatever you want.
Yeah,
it's the mail. You can send anything that's legal to mail, but we're not specifically soliciting.
Yes.
Cole's not specifically soliciting. I would like that Tonberry lamp that they put out. Like, I'm just kidding. Don't send me a Tonberry lamp.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's probably about it.
I think so.
Yeah, so who is Face Dog?
Shut up, Dog Face.
Yeah, shut up, Dog Face. Shut up, Face Name.